We shall turn now to the portion read, the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and we may read again from the verse 5. Proverbs, chapter 3, and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's very obvious, immediately when we read these words, we are made very much aware that it is a requirement for us everyone to be putting our trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And you can see that God is to be in all our ways. God is to be involved in all our ways. He shall direct thy paths when he is acknowledged in all our ways, so that nothing should ever be done, no course of action should be followed, no ambition should be endeavored after to fulfill it without taking God into it. Trust in the Lord. On Monday, we considered the instruction that we're given regarding our relationship to God, and how we are to seek him. And here we are directed to trust in the Lord. And it is the trust in the Lord that we would endeavor to consider. Most here tonight would, I am sure, say, well, yes, we're supposed to trust in the Lord. I believe we are all required to trust in the Lord. And I think I'm even myself trusting in the Lord. But so often, what we consider trusting in the Lord is not what is meant in the Scriptures. We find many people, and they will, well, I'm trusting in the Lord because I'm faced with difficulties. I've got some trials and troubles in my life, so I'm turning to the Lord to trust him. But that is not what we are directed to do. And in considering these words, we would simply note, first of all, the extent to which we are to trust the Lord. And then the manner in which we are to trust the Lord should be made clear to us. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The evidence that we are trusting in the Lord. We may say, well, I am trusting in the Lord, but am I really trusting in the Lord? We should be able to discover whether we really are or not when we apply these words of truth. First of all, then, trust in the Lord. But that is just half of the instruction that is given. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and then lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, you will understand that when Solomon was writing these words, that the expressions that he used would be understood then differently to what we might understand them now. You see, we refer to the heart as the seat of the affections. Whereas Solomon and others of his day and generation would have referred to the heart as the seat of the understanding. And so we could read it like this: trust in the Lord with all thine understanding, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see the contrast, but you can see how clearly then the two parts of the directive come together. Trust in the Lord with all thy mind, with all thy heart, with all thine understanding. Devote your mind to leaning on God. Don't think of doing anything else. Don't think of trusting anyone else. Don't think of leaning upon your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your understanding. Make sure that everything you say you understand has God at the center of it. Trust in the Lord with all thine understanding, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Why? Because God's understanding is supremely superior and different to our understanding. Now you take any situation, any scenario in your life, in your experience, and you sit down and you view it all, you take into consideration all the details, all the circumstances, all the various providences that take place, and you say, now how am I to understand all this? And then you try to figure it all out. You may even be thinking, what is God saying to me in this? What is God in providence saying to me? And so on. And you lean upon your own understanding to figure out what God is doing. You know God is doing something. What's he doing? I must try to figure that out. But you see, we are instructed not to lean, not to put confidence in, not to rest upon our own understanding for support, but to trust in the Lord with all the understanding. Give your mind to God himself rather than to understanding. That's what he's really saying. Instead of trying to work it out, just concentrate on God and rest on God, confident in him. He has a plan. He has a purpose. You see, when we go through the book of Psalms, psalm after psalm, we will see instruction as to how we are to rest in the Lord, how we are to trust in the Lord, and so on. And in the Psalm 62, we have the Lord directing Israel of old in this way. Verse 8, trust in him at all times. Now, if we were honest, wouldn't we be thinking, well, there's times I can manage fine. It's when I face difficulties I need to trust in the Lord. But when things seem to be moving along easily and smoothly, I don't need to trust in the Lord because everything's plain. Everything's plain sailing. Everything's going along. I'm not meeting with difficulties. So there's nothing to trust the Lord about. But the psalmist is directed to write, trust in him at all times. Doesn't matter whether we think we need to trust or not. We must trust. We must trust the Lord. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Now you see the kind of trust that we're talking about. Pour out your heart before him. Now, you might trust your bank manager. You trust him with your money. You trust him to give you good advice regarding your bank account and whatever. You trust him in the field in which you consider him to be expert and knowledgeable. You go to the doctor. You trust him, but you trust him in a different way for a different reason. Now, here we are told, trust in him at all times, ye people. And what kind of trust is it to be? What kind of a person do we put the trust in? Pour ye out your heart before him. He's to be trusted as a friend. He's to be trusted as your confidant. You are to feel free to come to him and open your heart and pour the whole content of your heart out before him. You couldn't do that. You'd say to the bank manager, I have every confidence in you. I trust you indeed. I have full confidence in your advice, your counsel, whatever. You might say the same of the doctor or some other professional person or other, but you're certainly not going to go and pour out your heart to them. You're not going to tell them all the secrets of your soul. But here is the instruction that we're given. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. Now, this is the word of God himself. And in reality, he's inviting his people to put their trust in him, to be confident in him to the degree that they feel absolutely free with him, to open their hearts and pour out everything, everything that concerns them. They're not to think, well, I don't think God, the great God of eternity, he's not going to be very interested in the details of this or that. They're too small, they're too insignificant. Or God has greater things to concern himself with than my little concerns. Pour ye out your heart. Now we think, well, we can tell the Lord we love him if we think we do. Or at least we can tell him we want to love him, we would like to love him. But do we feel confident enough to go to the Lord with everything? Or do we feel ashamed? And we try to handle certain things ourselves. We'll go to God when we run out of ideas. We'll go to God when we become desperate. We'll go to God when we're so frustrated we don't know what to do anymore because we've tried everything. Isn't that so often what we do? But we are to pour out our hearts into the bosom of the one that we trust. We can trust him with every secret, every concern, every anxiety, the things that we could never explain to anyone else or talk to anyone else about them. The Lord says, come and talk to me about them. Come to me and open up your heart. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to hear. It's not too petty for me. It's not too small and insignificant. Trust me. Trust me with everything. I am interested in everything. You think of the daily routine. You stopped at the end of the day and you just reflected, now what all have I done today? I got frustrated. I got upset. I became anxious. Why was I not trusting in the Lord? If I was truly trusting in the Lord, then I should be content that he's in control and he's looking after it all. You know what Paul wrote to Timothy in that first epistle to Timothy chapter 6? He tells him there in things that he's to avoid getting himself involved in. And then in verse 6 of 1 Timothy 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Not just gain, but great gain. Now, why is he saying this? Because he's talking about those who suppose that gain is godliness. And you get many people, yes, preachers and evangelists going around still today, and they preach a gospel of plenty and prosperity, and if you come to Christ, you're going to prosper, your bank balance will soon be greatly improving, you will prosper, because God intends his people to prosper. But what does Paul say? Well, there are those who have that idea, but he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now you see a man in ordinary everyday life, and you'd be thinking, well, he's very content. And because he's content, well, he doesn't gain. He seems to be satisfied. He's happy with his lot. He's not grasping. He's content. But you see, the apostle says godliness with contentment. If we reach that state of spiritual contentment we've gained, that's actually advancement in the life of grace. To be content with what God sends, to be content with what God orders, is advancement in the life of faith. It is great gain. Now, how many of the Lord's people do you meet that give the impression they are content with what God sends to them? They are truly content with what God orders. That is an evidence of spiritual progress. That does not mean the contented man is not slothful. The contented man isn't lazy, but the contented man is content with God, content with the wisdom of God, content with God's ordering of things, and he's trusted. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, it's either one or the other. If we're trusting in the Lord, then we're not trusting our own understanding. But if we're trusting our own understanding, that's clear evidence we're not trusting in the Lord with all the heart. It's one or the other. And it's a good question to ask when we're faced with a difficulty. Well, who am I really trusting? Am I really trusting the Lord? Am I really satisfied to trust him, to wait on him, to be content with how he does things, how he orders things, how he works it all out? Am I really content to leave it in the hands of God? Am I content to come and pour all my heart out, tell God everything that's on my mind, everything that concerns me, and look to him then to work it all out for me? You see what the psalmist, Solomon says here, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, what a blessed promise, he shall direct thy paths, or he shall make thy paths straight. He shall make thy paths straight. We may find in life that paths are very often very crooked. They are up and down. We're on the mountain top one day, then we go down into the valley. We go around the corner to meet with the unexpected. We don't plan. There's many things, even this day, probably you find out there were things that happened. You didn't plan them, but they were not accidents. Someone else planned them. Some other hand was overruling. Were we content or were we murmuring? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. How do we know that we are really trusting him fully? Well, we acknowledge him. We acknowledge him. It is a sin not to acknowledge God. But then the question arises, well, what does it really mean to acknowledge God? Acknowledge him and he shall. You acknowledge him, take him into your confidence, put your trust in him, pour out your heart to him. You do that, and what will he do? He will direct thy paths. He will ensure that you are on the right path. In the same chapter here, Proverbs 3, where wisdom is to be sought, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 16, length of days is in her hand, and in her left hand, in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. They are peace. They are not necessarily materially prosperous, but they are paths of peace. They may not bring us great gain materially or as far as the world is concerned, but there's peace. Peace in the soul because we have the best possible friend. Pour out your heart. Who would you pour your heart? You stopped here tonight and thought, well, now, who would I really pour out my heart to? Who could I really tell every secret of my soul? The fact of it is, there is none so ready to hear as God himself. Don't you know yourself? You meet with people and every time you meet them, they have a problem. And you see them coming and you almost want to go in some other direction because you're wondering, what sad tale am I going to hear now? What is the latest problem? You know what I'm talking about. And you stand patiently listening. And you say, well, I heard it all before, but, you know, I'm a Christian, so I'll try to do my best not to show any irritation. Listen to it all again. And you'll be thinking, my friend, could you find someone else to pour your heart out to? But the Lord never does that. He listens. Patiently listens. Patiently takes it all on board. He never grows weary of our coming to him to open up our hearts and pour it all out to him. And you see, that's the evidence that we trust him. That we can treat him as our best friend. And how do we do it? Well, the children of Israel had to learn something from the very first, the beginnings of their movement toward the promised land. If you, for example, go to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, you will see there Moses before the Lord, and he's greatly concerned because of what's been happening among the Israelites, which has been a sore grief to him. And the Lord is threatened that he will desert this people. Moses pleads, and then the Lord says, right, Moses, you now take this people. They may be rebellious. You lead them now to the promised land. What does Moses say in verse 15 of Exodus 33? If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? What an evidence of grace that God would condescend to go along with a poor mortal creature, someone like Moses, someone like you or me. Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. What's the point? The land may be flowing with milk and honey. There may be many, many blessings materially awaiting us. But what does it all mean if we don't have the presence of God? What does it all mean? What will it all amount to? It's worthless if thy presence be not with us. Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? You ask the same question. How do I know that I have found grace with the Lord? Well, this is it, Moses. Is it not in that thou goest with us? Whose company would we most like to have with us, journeying through this life? Oh, Moses said, it doesn't matter if Joshua is there. It doesn't matter if the priests are there. It doesn't matter what else is there, and it doesn't matter what blessings are waiting. If the Lord's presence isn't a reality, I don't want to go. I don't want any of the other supposed blessings if I don't have the presence of the Lord. They're all worthless. And how oftentimes the devil comes along and he tempts us into thinking, well, we'll be happy and we'll have peace if we've this. If we gain that, we'll be really happy and we'll be at peace. We'll have a degree of contentment. My, Moses says, I would never be able to rest. I would never have peace. Doesn't matter what else I have. If the presence of the Lord is absent, then I lose out entirely. And what was the evidence that the Lord gave? The gracious evidence of his gracious presence with his people, with Moses and this people. You go back again to the book of Exodus, to the chapter 13. And when the children of Israel are on the move, in Exodus chapter 13, this is what we read from verse 20, just for the sake of time. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them. How blessed. The Lord went before them. As we tried to say, among other things, on Monday past, if we can't see the Lord, if we can't see Christ, we can be sure we're in the wrong path. We are to run with patience the race set before us, looking unto him, seeing him. And what do we read here? The Lord went before them. So they will know whether they're going in the right direction or not, if they see the evidence of his presence. And Moses said, if thy presence doesn't go, we don't want to go. But what do we read? The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before his people. He went before them day and night. He didn't leave them wondering, has he gone away and will he return? They had the evidence. The Lord is going before us. And you go with me over to the book of Numbers and the chapter 9 there. You will see that other details are given regarding the Lord's movement and the movement of the children of Israel. Verse 15, on the day the tabernacle, Numbers 9, verse 15, on the day the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of testimony, and so on. At even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. You read how the cloud was present, and then we read this, verse 17, when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Now we might say to ourselves, well, that's all pretty irrelevant because we're not in the wilderness, we're not journeying with the priests and the Levites carrying all the various accoutrements of the tabernacle and so on. Where's the relevance? Well, you see, what we read is this, when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. They moved with the evidence of God's presence. And in the place where the cloud abode, in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Where do we find people pitching their tents now? Do they make sure the presence of the Lord is here? Do they make sure there's some evidence God is here? I will pitch my tent here because there's evidence of God's presence. Or do they say, it doesn't matter, I'll pitch my tent anyway. What do we read? Verse 18, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Now they might think to themselves, well, we would like to get moving a bit. We've been pitched here long enough. It would be nice to move to fresh ground and see new territory and take possession of new blessings and new benefits. No, God said, when I'm present, you stay with me. When I rest, when the cloud stops, it doesn't matter should it be 3 days or 30 days, you stay right there. You don't expect the cloud to follow you. Now, a lot of people think they can do that. I can go anywhere. The cloud will go with me. I'm the Lord's child. I've got my Bible. I've got the blessing of God. And I can go wherever I want. And I can just pitch my tent. And it'll all be fine. No, you can't. You pitch your tent where you are assured of the Lord's presence. And Moses says, if we don't have the Lord's presence, I don't want to be anywhere without the Lord's presence. Many a child of God has made spiritual shipwreck by deciding, well, I'll go where I want. And I'll pitch my tent where it suits me, like Lot. You remember where Lot pitched his tent? He looked in the well-watered plains, and it was all so inviting. But look at the end of it. Look at him when his wife is turned into a pillar of salt. Look at him with his two daughters, with child by their own father. Look at him hiding in a cave on a mountain. What went wrong? He pitched his tent in the wrong place. He went too close to danger. But Abraham, the friend of God, he pitched his tent where he could set up an altar to God. And we read here in this chapter 9 of Numbers, so it was, verse 21, when the cloud abode there from even unto the morning, and the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. You see, they were trusting in the Lord. And they were trusting him at all times. And they might have thought, well, what an inconvenient time for God to decide to move. Does he not know it's night? Why are we having to go? It says, if the cloud, they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up. What did they want most? Did they want comfort and rest undisturbed at night, or did they want the Lord's presence? Did they trust God that he knew the best time to move? Whether it was day or night, they trusted him. And that's what we have here. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him to be sovereign. Acknowledge him to be wise. Don't become impatient. Acknowledge him to know exactly what he's doing and what is best for us. And always be concerned about this. Do I have the Lord's presence with me? Because I will not pitch my tent where his presence is absent. Dear young people, learn that lesson well. You have your life before you. You don't know what God has yet planned for you, but make sure of this. Do not pitch your tent if the Lord's presence is absent. Do not pitch your tent without having the confidence and the assurance, God is present with me here. God's presence is a reality here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what a promise. He shall direct thy paths. How very blessed to know, trusting him. Well, I don't know yet where it's going to go, but I do know this. The Lord's in control, and he knows where he's going. You remember what we read there in the 23rd chapter of the book of Job. Job was mystified by many things that were going on in his life. He couldn't figure them out. But there was one thing he was very sure of. In verse 10 of Job 23, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. It was difficult. It was a struggle, but my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. It was difficult. I was in the dark sometimes, but I held on. And he says, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's some esteem for God's word. But he is of one mind. And who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Isn't that good? He performs what he appoints. Isn't that wonderful? To be able to be content with that. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. That's why we can trust him. That's why we can trust him all the time. That's why we can put our confidence in him and pour out. Imagine, maybe the old computer starts giving you all kinds of trouble, and you do everything in desperation to get it sorted out. In the end, you become so frustrated. Why do we not just trust God? The old automobile starts giving problems. We wonder, how are we going to fix it? How are we going to sort it out? We don't go to God with things like that. He's not interested in those kind of things. Pour out your hearts. Trust him with everything. Tell him everything. He's inviting us to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall. Without doubt, he shall direct thy paths. And who could direct them better? Who could direct our paths better? May he bless his word.